Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise, that you are the banner of victory over our lives. Yahweh Nisi, Father. That, Lord, you mean to manifest a victory in us personally, and you mean to manifest your victory, O God, in the body of Christ across the world, and you mean to manifest a victory in the nation of Israel. You mean to manifest a victory in the nations of the world. And Father God, you will achieve these things because it is written, Father. And so, Father, as we communicate, O Lord, the wonder, O God, of who you are and all that you are through your word, Father, we pray that what is manifested in us, we pray it will enable us to know you, enable us to see you, enable us to understand, O God, how awesome is your work in our lives. So, Father God, remove from us every hardness of heart. Give us a hearing ear and a seeing eye. Give us a heart that is able to receive, to realize, O God, the voice of your word. And what we receive and realize of you, Father, let it be in turn a blessing manifested through us unto others, Lord. That, Lord, the victory of the Lamb manifested in us, let it come forth, O God, to impact the lives of others, that they too may experience, O God, and realize the victory of Jesus Christ in their lives. So that, Lord, as the Church of Jesus Christ begins to focus on who you are and all that you are, as you continue to reveal yourself to us by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus, Father, we will begin to see the Church, O God, expanding and growing as it is manifested as your righteousness, as we begin to see ourselves as the product of your handiwork. So we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you worship, we give you praise. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 17 from verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." And Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this in a book as a memorial, and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner, Yahweh Nisi." And he said, "The Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation." The Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. So we started this series on Yahweh Nisi by proclaiming that we are a people who are at war. And this war has numbered casualties in the billions. It's a war that has a toll on the human race far beyond the comprehension of the human mind. And we need to understand that the church is a vessel, is a vehicle in which God means to unveil victory over the enemy. Now, the enemy represents Satan and all that is influenced by Satan. Amalek represents a people who belong to the ways of the devil, the ways of evil. And here we see that the children of Israel achieved a victory against Amalek in a reality of the staff of God that Moses held, and in reality of the sword that Joshua wielded. Now both these realities, the rod of God or the staff of God and the sword of the Spirit, are tied to us in living realities that are within us today. And that's what we have been talking about. So if you look at the background in which the rod of Moses was called the rod of God, you have to turn to Exodus chapter 4. Let's just turn to that. Exodus chapter 4, verse 2. So the Lord said to him, that is to Moses, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. Verse 17. And you shall take this rod in your hand, and with which you shall do the signs. So God puts purpose to that rod. And the reason why that rod was used to do so many things was because God spoke into that rod. He spoke purpose into it. All right? So behind this rod is the fact that God has chosen to manifest this rod according to His word. And what He means to do is that with this rod, He's going to perform His word. Verse 20. The last part of verse 20. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. The rod has become the rod of God simply because of what God has purposed in that rod. That's all. Okay? It's very important to understand that. Because that rod has got no meaning without the purpose that God has for it. Okay? And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh which I have put in your hand. What is he put in his hand? That rod. Okay? But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Praise the Lord. So Moses takes that rod, and he goes and he meets Aaron. Let's look at verse 28. Exodus chapter 4, verse 28. So Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. You see, Moses communicates to Aaron, and there is a transference. All right? Because you will find later on that Aaron uses that rod. But God uses Moses to speak, and there is a transference. The reality is communicated. And Aaron picks up that, and he continues to walk the way God wants him to walk. Verse 30. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. Verse 30, right? And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. Okay? So he did the signs. So because Moses' words were received by Aaron, and Aaron spoke those words, the reality that God had designed into that rod manifested, and the children of Israel saw that. So there you see here an awesome communication. All right? Today we stand in the New Testament, and Jesus came and he has fulfilled the law and the prophets. And each and every one of us who is able to hear and receive what God has spoken through the life of Jesus, we will see the same transference through Jesus Christ into us. And this rod has got meaning to us today. All right? It is symbolically manifested in the Old Testament, but it has got meaning to us today. All right? Let's look at Numbers chapter 17. Numbers chapter 17. From verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and get from them a rod from each father's house, all their leaders according to their father's houses, 12 rods. Write each man's name on his rod. And you shall write Aaron's name on the rod of Levi. For there shall be one rod for the head of each father's house. Then you shall place them in the tabernacle of meeting before the testimony. Now the testimony that we are talking about in the context of the New Testament is prophetically addressed as the testimony of Jesus. Revelation 19:10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So it's the testimony of Jesus that makes the word of God come alive to us in a potentially fulfilled reality. So the things written in the Old Testament, the things written in the scripture, the moment you bring them and see them in Jesus Christ, those words become potentially, those words have the potential of becoming fulfilled. Are you with me? Now there is a personal reality of fulfillment that is available to you and me. And there's a corporate reality of fulfillment that is available to us as we come together as a body of Christ and learn how to function together as a body of Christ. Individually, God means to bless us greatly. Collectively, the reality is explosive. And you must understand this, okay? So now let's look at this passage in Numbers chapter 17. Verse 4. Then you shall place them in the tabernacle of meeting before the testimony, where I meet with you. Now the testimony was in the Holy of Holies, right? It was called the Ark of the Covenant. It was called the Ark of the Testimony, right? The tent of meeting is the holy place. And so these 12 rods were taken and placed in the tent of meeting in line with where the Ark of the Covenant was in the Holy of Holies. All right? And it shall be that the rod of the man whom I choose will blossom. Thus I will rid myself of the complaints of the children of Israel which they make against you. Now, one of the reasons why this was happening was in context was that there was grumbling. And so God wanted to prove through whom he was going to speak. All right? Because everybody says, I'm anointed. Okay? So, putting that aside, we are trying to find a meaning inside of this passage that will be relevant to each one of us personally. All right? So God says something here, and it shall be that the rod of the man whom I choose will blossom. Thus I will rid myself of the complaints of the children of Israel which they make against you. So Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and each of their leaders gave him a rod apiece. For each leader, according to their father's houses, 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses placed the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. You see, now the tent of meeting is called a tabernacle of witness. And that's very relevant to us because we have been doing a lot of teaching on the witness. And the witness becomes something very personal to us, okay? Because we are each a tabernacle of the witness of God. We are each, in each one of us, God has the intent of developing a witness. All right? Let's just keep your fingers here in Numbers chapter 17. And let's just turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. And this is what it reads. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Now all of us have the witness of God within us. The witness of God was manifested to us when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And lo and behold, at the moment at which we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were all consecrated as tabernacles of God's witness. Are you listening? Within us, God means to manifest the witness. The witness. The entire Bible is written as a testament. And the reality of the testament is a witness. When the testament becomes a witness inside of you, it has become alive inside of you. And when it becomes alive inside of you, it can be performed through you. Are you with me? Okay? So you need to understand this, okay? So this witness that God has given us in verse 10 is described in verse 7 and 8 in the following terms. New King James Bible. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. So the reality of Yahweh is broken up here and introduced to us as the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And the three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. Now the Spirit, the water, and the blood is the witness of the cross. Because when Jesus Christ gave up his spirit, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when the Roman soldier pierced Jesus, in John chapter 19, verse 34, it says, out of him flowed blood and water. So the witness of spirit, water, and blood is the witness of the cross. And that witness is manifested inside of us. It is the witness. It is the witness through which God speaks to us. In the blood is the covenant. In the water is the voice of God. In the spirit is the anointing to enable us to do all things. And these three are one. And that is the witness. Are you with me? Okay. When the witness is manifested inside of us, something is birthed within us and it becomes alive inside of us. Okay? So now let's go back to Numbers chapter 17. Verse 7. And Moses placed the rods before the Lord, before Yahweh, right? Before Yahweh, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit in the tabernacle of witness. Same thing, right? As what we read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8 describes the cosmic reality of God and His people. His people being those who are born again. Those who have been purchased in the blood of the Lamb and those who have declared it in their lives and are therefore born again. Verse 8. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds, had produced blossoms and yielded ripe almonds. Now in the New Testament we are all addressed as tabernacles, right? We are living temples. And within this temple we operate a priesthood. So of the tribe of Levi, Levi was a priesthood. Today we stand as a priesthood of believers. Right? And so you and I are chosen to be a priesthood unto God. And so you see that the rod of Aaron that budded is alive in each one of us who have become a priesthood on the basis of receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. On the basis of receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior in a witness of blood, water, and spirit. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. But this rod that has been opened inside of us in a living witness, right, has to be developed so that it will bud, so that it will become functional. Okay? So that's the challenge that is facing each one of us. We need to have this witness that is to be developed so that it can become functional. And if it becomes functional, it can manifest as the rod of God, the witness inside of us. All right? So you and I carry a witness, and when we manifest that witness as a sword of the Spirit, we can strike the enemy. So Joshua wielded the sword against Amalek. Moses held the rod up. Are you with me? So inside of you, there is a witness that you and I need to hold in the strength that God gives us. We must never be shaken from God's word. And it's not an intellectual thing. It must be something that is in our witness. So in Holy Communion, Jesus says, "Remember me." This is what he is saying. Right? That you will hold fast to the word of God that has been opened and explained into you as the testimony of Jesus. And that's the rod. And when you wield the sword of the Spirit, you can strike the enemy with the rod of God. Can you see the picture? Now Joshua or Yehoshua is one of those words that opens into Yeshua, which is the name that is Jesus. Right? So can you see that? Okay? Can you see the connection? All right. Now let's turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. You know that this is a vision from verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 14. No, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man. Now the lampstands represent the church. All right. Verse 14. His head and hair were white like wool. So he's describing the Lamb of God. All right. As white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. It's very important to know that he's talking about the Lamb of God, okay? Because the Lamb of God comes to us by sacrifice. And the Lamb of God comes alive to us by sacrifice in a witness that is a manifestation of that sacrifice. So we are entirely alive to God through that sacrifice. Take away that sacrifice and its witness of blood, water, and spirit, and you and I have got absolutely no status before God. You and I have got absolutely no status before God. Okay. Verse 15, and his feet were like fine brass as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Okay, so out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. Okay, now what does he do with that two-edged sword? Let's turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. Now, faithful and true is the description of the witness of Jesus Christ, right? In Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus describes himself as the Amen, the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And that true and faithful witness has been opened to us in spirit, water, and blood. Are you with me? So here you see Jesus come forth as a true and faithful witness. Okay? And that witness is the rod that blossomed. All right. Okay? Because there are all kinds of witnesses in planet Earth. But the true and faithful witness is very specific to him who is called here the Word of God. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. The Word of God has been tested. The Word of God has been tried. And the Word of God is now being manifested so that he will truly strike down his enemies. And that's what we are going to read next. Verse 14. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Praise the Lord. So out of his mouth comes the sword. Okay? Now all of us know that we are also equipped with the sword. All right? It's called the sword of the Spirit. That means the witness that God has manifested in Jesus Christ can be wielded through our lives as a sword of the Spirit. Let's turn to Ephesians. Chapter 6. From verse 11, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So by the Spirit, the reality of all that is available to us in the testimony of Jesus can be wielded through our mouths. Okay. Now, what is the word of God? In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 14 and 15, God tells through Moses that the word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. Right? In your mouth and in your heart. And so in between your mouth and your heart, there is a witness. And that witness has the intent of all that God means to do through your life. And in that sense, it is represented by the rod of God. God took that rod out of Moses, and he spoke purpose into that rod, and he says, with this rod you will do the signs. But the signs were only done as the word was spoken. All right, let's look at that. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7, from verse 14. Let's look at it in the context of the first plague that the Lord brought upon Egypt through Moses. Verse 14, so the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard, he refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand. And you shall say to him, and this is very important, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness, but indeed until now you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. See, he's bringing out the use of this rod. This rod symbolizes the word that is going to be applied, right? To bring forth something that God wants to do. Are you with me? So you and I have a witness inside of us, and the purpose of this witness is so that you and I will bring forth what God wants to perform through our lives. In this witness, God will give you a calling. In this witness, God will equip you with an anointing. In this witness, God will give you the word of God. In this witness, God will build inside of you a blood covenant. And in that covenant in blood, in the word that God is going to make alive in you, he's going to do something that he has purposed in your life. Now, one of the realities that God wants you to bring forth in your life is this ability to strike the enemy. And when we do spiritual warfare, when we stand as intercessors, right, we are called to strike the waters of Egypt. The waters of Egypt is the witness of this world, the witness of darkness, the witness that denies God, the witness that stands against God, the witness of corruption, the witness of lust, the witness of pride, the witness of arrogance, right? The witness of godlessness, right? The witness of materialism, the witness of every kind of perversion under the sun. Yeah. Verse 17, thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the river shall die, the river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the word, water of the river, sorry. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, over their rivers, over their ponds, and over all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and they shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in buckets of wood and pitchers of stone. Now what Moses is manifesting with his mouth, what Moses is going to manifest through his mouth is going to be the exact thing that God is speaking now. So verse 20, and Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died. Why? Because he had spoken earlier that the fish will die. All right? The river stank, right? God had spoken those words. Moses received those words, right? Communicated it to Aaron, and Aaron is now releasing it. Correct? Are you with me? Now Jesus Christ stands as one who has fulfilled the law. Moses stands as a lawgiver. Aaron stands as a priesthood. Right? Okay. So we are a priesthood. And what's the qualification of this priesthood? That we have a witness that is of the testimony of Jesus. We have the name of Jesus and we are called to unveil that name and do all things in the name of Jesus. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. So verse 21, the fish that were in the river died. The river stank and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Listening? Okay. So what did God perform with that rod? The word. All right. It's very important for you to understand that. So in the witness within you, God will build inside of you that conduit through which he will manifest the word that he wants to perform. All right. God shows this in another prophetic verse that is found in Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 11 and 12. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" And I said, "I see a rod of an almond tree." Then the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." Okay? So what does that rod of the almond tree represent? It represents the word that God is watching to perform it. So as Christians, if you build your life on the word of God, God will build that witness into you until it is able to become the rod that blossoms. It is able to perform something out of your life. And every Christian has this potential in his life. Are you listening? Correct? Just as the rod of Levi was called the rod of Aaron, right? And it was manifested. So you must understand that God means to manifest his word through you and me. He means to perform his word through you and me. He means to strike the enemy. And you and I have the capacity to strike the enemy, right? In deliverance ministry. You can strike the enemy while you teach, that those strongholds in which the enemy holds someone's mind or holds someone's past can be broken as the word of God is taught, as the word of God is proclaimed, as the word of God is released prophetically. Can you see that? So the word that is inside of you is very, very powerful. The word has got a lot of power and it can be manifested to strike the enemy. Right? You will find that any form of ministry involves a battle with an enemy, an unseen enemy who holds the minds of people, who holds them through their cultural background, their family background, their religious backgrounds, their belief systems, right? Their lifestyles. So you need to understand that when we manifest the word, we are not just simply manifesting the word to tell somebody something. We are also manifesting the word to break the strongholds behind them. That's why it is so important to learn how to function from this witness inside of you and not just preach from your head. All right? Preach from your head, right? Because preaching from your head will not break strongholds. It is only preaching and manifesting the rod of God through the word that is a witness that you can strike the enemy. Because in the cross of Jesus Christ, in the witness of the cross, Satan has been defeated. Satan has been defeated. Let me take you to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Let's read from verse 9 onwards. Okay. And in him, that is in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. If you have a King James Bible, it says all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. And he is head over all rule and authority. And in him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. So, in the witness of the cross, you have all of these realities. What do you have in the witness of the cross? The reality that the decrees against human beings have been cancelled out. You can proclaim that. You can speak it out. Now, if you have a prophet, a prophet who can read those decrees, you can one by one break those decrees. All right? And you find that in this witness, the rulers and authorities have been disarmed. That means they can't touch you. If you do deliverance ministry through this witness, the enemy cannot touch you. He will try and trick you, but he can't touch you. But if you manifest things and try and do deliverance in your own righteousness, you will find that there are consequences. I've heard many people tell me that the powers of darkness affect them when they do deliverance ministry. I've never experienced that. I've been doing deliverance ministry for 8-9 years now. The difference is this witness. If you function in the witness of the cross, the enemy has been disarmed. But if you function in your own righteousness, then the enemy can strike you back. It's so important to learn how to function in this witness. And you will see the power of God strike the enemy. Are you with me? Okay? Now, what is it that God is trying to bring out of this witness? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God does not consist of words. The Greek word for words there is logos, but in dunamis. Dunamis is power, and it is peculiar to resurrection power. Alright? Resurrection power. Now, what is this power that God is talking about through the Apostle Paul? Okay? What is this power that God is talking about through the Apostle Paul? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And in the middle of that verse, it tells you something about Jesus Christ, and it says, and upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, the Greek word for word there is rhema. So, what is God telling you in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20? That the kingdom of God and the realities of the kingdom manifest in rhema and not in logos. The logos has to be quickened into rhema for the power to manifest. Are you with me? The witness within you functions in rhema. Alright? Now that rhema is the logos that is brought alive into a rhema reality by the Holy Spirit. Where do you find that? You find that in John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The rhema that I have spoken to you, past tense, are present tense, spirit and life. Are you with me? Right? Life is that which is living. Spirit carries the anointing. Right? So when you strike the enemy, you strike the enemy through the witness by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus in a rhema reality. Are you with me? All right? You cannot do that in an intellectual logos reality. It has to be manifested by the Spirit in a witness that is in blood, water, and spirit. that true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God, and in that witness you strike the enemy. How do you switch from logos to rhema? That's one of the reasons why you use tongues, to be able to move from logos to rhema. Because through tongues, you can energize the logos word into the mystery of the rhema word, the mystery of the witness that is alive inside of you, and you can manifest it by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. You listening? And this capacity is with every spirit-filled Christian. This capacity to do so is with every spirit-filled Christian. All right? You remember Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 to 11. To whom would he teach knowledge, and to whom would he give the message? The knowledge is the abiding form. The message is the form of the word that is for that moment. Like what Moses was speaking against Israel, speaking against Egypt. It was the word for a specific time and for a specific moment in time. Right? So he spoke that word to bring forth a specific plague on the nation of Israel. That was the message. Right? It was for that point in time. Are you listening? Right. Now that is one form of the prophetic word. But there is the other form of the prophetic word, which is the word that is abiding forever. The word that builds and builds and builds inside of you, a witness. And that word has an abiding reality. Now you need that abiding reality in order to be able to realize the message for that moment. Right? God has got to build a witness and a testimony of Jesus into your life, molding it and shaping it into your character, your nature, your personality, so that you will be able to receive the message of God for that moment accurately, and you know this is of God. Are you with me? Let's take another example. Elijah coming before Ahab. 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1. Elijah says, I stand before God, and by the words of my mouth it's not going to rain in this place until I say so. That's the message for the moment. That's the manifestation of the rod of God. Right? He's passing judgment on the basis that he stands before God. How does he know he stands before God? If he doesn't know, he's going to be dead. Right? But he knows that. Right? He knows that. Right? So he knows. Okay? Let me show you another verse. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14 and verse 15. Okay, let's read from verse 10 first. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. Since all of us have received the witness concerning the Son of God, we have a witness that is true inside of us. We also have a witness of our flesh. All right? And God says, so let's read from 1 John chapter 5 verse 10. And this is what it reads. Oh boy, I've missed that. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 verse 10. Sorry. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. Now there are different levels at which God bears a witness of his Son. Now all of us have received some measure of the witness of God that is of his Son. Okay? That's why we have been born again. Verse 11, and the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. When it says, it's telling you a very powerful statement. Everything that is in the life of Jesus is potentially going to be made alive to you. He who has the Son has the life that comes from God. And the life that comes from God manifests with the power that comes from God. The life that comes from God manifests with the authority that comes from God. The life that comes from God manifests with the wisdom that comes from God. The life that comes from God manifests with the strength that comes from God. The life that comes from God manifests with the understanding that comes from God. The life that comes from God opens itself in a witness, in a confidence that comes from God. And for instance, Elijah had that confidence and he knew that he stood before God. And he was prepared to stand before Ahab and proclaim what he did. Are you listening? All right. So it says here, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. You cannot bluff this around. You either have it or you don't have it. All right. These things I have written to you, verse 13, who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. You may know. Now all of us know we have eternal life. We may not be able to manifest it in its fullness, but we all know we have an eternal life. We all know we have a future in God. But God wants us to know that it's more than just knowing you have a future in God. It is a knowing that you can bring forth things in your life that are of God. For example, there is a wisdom that you can manifest that is of God. There is a power that you can manifest that is of God. There is an authority that you can manifest that is of God. You have to grow into these things. Verse 14. And this is the confidence which we have before him, right? The confidence which we have before him. Where did Elijah stand? He said, I stand before God. He had a confidence that he stood before God. And so here, the Apostle John tells us, we have a confidence before him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Right? The key word there is know. Are you with me? Now all this God wants to build inside of us. Obviously it is not a 2-minute reality. It has to be built into you through a lifestyle. As you learn how to function in this witness. And then you will know that there are certain things that God is bringing forth from your life. It takes an inward sensitivity. Right? That confidence. Right? That confidence. Right? Is of the witness of God. It is the certainty that you have in God. Are you with me? Okay. So you see it in the life of the Old Testament prophets. In moments of time. Now the big difference between them and us is that in us it is being built in a perpetual real time sense. They only had it for the time at which God wanted to do something. Because it came through anointings upon. But you and I have a witness that is resident inside of us. It is online. Obviously, God has to do a very careful work before he releases people like you and me into this, right? Okay? But you need to realize this, okay? You need to realize this. So this is why Yahweh Nisi is an important name, because we have, in order to receive this, we have a battle that we must fight in our personal lives. We have a battle that we have to fight in our personal lives with regards to our the flaws in our characters, our fears, all that the enemy has inflicted on us in terms of betrayals, hurts. We have to deal with these things. And in the process of being delivered, in the process of being healed, God will bring into us a witness where we have won a personal victory over Satan himself. Are you listening? That's why if you want to move into the things of God, you have to deal with those things that are afflicting you. There are things that the devil has done in your generations and he's continuing to do with you. And God wants you to be able to take hold of what he has given you in Jesus Christ, and he wants you to strike the enemy in your life. That's where the training begins. But some people are just happy living with their hurts. They just want to hide away. You can't do that. You have to go out and confront the enemy that wants to destroy your life. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You can't allow that. You have to understand that you are a soldier in the army of God. That's what the name Yahweh Nisi is saying. That we are in the body of Christ and we are called not just to be saved to go to heaven, but to also do a battle so that our lives will impact the lives of others. So that the testimony of Jesus that is perfected and completed in our lives will have an impact on somebody else's life. Amen. As a father, you have responsibility to fight that war in your family so that your children will not carry the same junk that came down upon you. You can't simply sit down and say, as long as I know Jesus Christ, it's all over. No, it's not like that. You have to fight this war because otherwise it will have a toll on your kids. It will have a toll on those who are your siblings. Because the things that are afflicting you through your generations are also afflicting your brothers and your sisters. Right? The things that are afflicting you on your own generations are also afflicting your own parents. And you have to be prepared to fight that. Alright? But you must understand that what the Bible is saying is that if you come alive to this witness, the enemy is disarmed. Hello? When God brought you into the born-again experience, did He show you the power of God? You see, everything that the devil had on you, so many so-called strongholds that the devil had on you were just simply sliced through in a moment of time like that. Right? God showed you a picture. But there are things that are affecting your character, your nature, your belief system, your desires that are not quite right. Some of us have a desire that we must drive in a gold Rolls Royce or something like that, you know. We must have diamond studded taps. And the devil has got us in those strongholds of materialism, right? Some of us think that we must be always recognized for everything. And the devil has got us in the stronghold of pride. Now, whatever form of stronghold in which the evil one holds you, you must be able to address that through the word of God. Take it before the Lord Jesus Christ and ask the Lord to break that yoke of iniquity over your life. Now, how is the yoke broken? Through the anointing, correct? That anointing is the Spirit of Christ. That anointing is the Spirit of Christ, the fatness that clothes your inward parts. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. That 27 is it? Okay. Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27. And it came to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. If you have an old King James, it is the anointing. If you have a New American Standard, it says because of the fatness. So the word fatness is what breaks the yoke, and the word fatness is the anointing. Okay? Now where does it come from, this word fatness? It comes out of Leviticus chapter 3. Leviticus chapter 3. Let's read from verse 3 and 4. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire to the Lord. The fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove. Verse 16. And the priest shall burn them up on the altar as food, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma. All the fat is the Lord's. So that is the fat. So you get a picture. Your inward parts are covered with the fatness of the anointing. And the fatness of the anointing breaks the yoke. Alright? In Galatians it tells us, in New American Standard, Galatians chapter 3, that you are clothed with Christ. Hold on. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, New American Standard. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Christ means the anointed one. You have clothed yourself with Christ. That means you have clothed yourself with the fatness of his anointing, his spirit. All right? And that breaks the yoke. Okay? Where does the anointing come from? It comes to you in the rhema of the word. John 6:63, my words to you are spirit and are life. That word spirit is the anointing. The anointing that forms the fat inside of you. And when the anointing becomes strong enough and powerful enough and perfected enough, it will break the yoke of your character flaws. Right? The yokes, oh God, that the yokes that the enemy has inflicted over your heart, your mind. For instance, in the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read that. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 23 and 24. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Right? So if you're going to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, what is going to renew the spirit of your mind? The spirit of Christ. The spirit that comes from Christ. All right? And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. All right? And that spirit breaks the yokes that hold your mind. So does the devil hold your mind? Yes, he does. Does he hold it in fear? Yes, he does. Does he hold it in hurt? Yes, it does. Right? Does he hold it in feelings of being inferior? I can't do anything. I'm too weak. I've got so many problems that I've been through that even God can't help me. How many people believe that? Right? And when you believe that, that spirit holds you. And so, the anointing that comes from the Spirit of the Lord breaks that yoke and says, you have the mind of Christ. All right? Let me show you another example of the wrong spirit, okay? Let's turn to Psalm. To the book of Psalms. Psalm 109 verse 17 and 18. And this is what it reads. He also loved cursing, so it came to him. Right? It came to him. How did it come to him? As a spirit of cursing. Alright? And he did not delight in blessing, so it was far from him. But he clothed himself with cursing. That means he clothed himself with the spirit of cursing. Have you met people who curse every now and then? Every sentence has got at least four F words. Have you heard people who curse everybody else? Right? Everything is not right. Yeah? But he clothed himself with cursing as with his garment, and it entered into his body like water and like oil into his bones. The opposite kind of anointing. Right? Spirit of anger. Have you seen certain people who get angry and they go berserk? And after they have come back to their normal self, they can't even remember what they did. Some husbands abuse their wives, and when you try and counsel them, they say, I never did all that. Can't even remember what they did. That's the spirit. Yeah. Some people must have control over everybody else. That is a Jezebelic controlling spirit. Some people have a problem of lust, right? Some people have a problem of the spirit of alcohol. All right? So the yoke has to be broken. Can it be broken? Very easily, actually. Through the Spirit of Christ. If you're willing to set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, the substance will be of Him, and the substance will manifest in evidence, right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of hope, the evidence of the unseen. So if you set your hope on Jesus, the substance will be of Him, and in the substance that is of Him is the power to break every yoke of iniquity. And it will manifest itself in an evidence. Is that true? Yes. When you were born again, didn't you see the changes that God did in an instant? He gave you a picture of what He can do with you. But now He wants you to make the choices to break the yokes that are in your life. Why? Because you are a free will creature. So you need to understand, if you want to build a witness that is going to strike the enemy, you have to first deal with the enemy who has afflicted your life. If you don't do that, you're not going to be a warrior. Because the training is as you are set free in your own life. The Lord our God is a man of war, right? Where do you find that? Exodus chapter 15. Let's look at that. New King James Bible. Exodus. Chapter 15, verse 3. Let's read from verse 1 just for context. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider He has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him. My father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war, and the Lord is His name. So the Lord is a man of war. He will always be a man of war. He will battle with Amalek from generation to generation. Why from generation to generation? Because the yokes of sin go down generation to generation. And the battle is being fought in your generations for your family and your family lines after that. So when are you going to stand and fight? Not just for yourself, but your entire family. Are you just going to say, I'm saved and that's fine? Are you going to stand there and are you going to fight? The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. It is the Lord who is a man of war. And He can come alive in you as a man of war to break the yokes that hold your life and through your life manifest a testimony that is able to strike the yokes that are over your family members. You can do that in prayer. It's powerful. It is very powerful. You can pray for anybody, anywhere in the world, and be able to strike the enemy if God gives you the witness to do so. Remember, this witness is not for you to do your own gymnastics, alright? It is for you to do what God wants you to do. You can't wield the sword of the Spirit carnally. Won't work, because the Holy Spirit will not manifest it in the first place. And if you keep doing it carnally, you will manifest something that is of another spirit. And you've opened a door that is not right, and you will be in trouble. So you need to always understand that this witness that God is developing inside of you must be subject to the preeminence of Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. You can't do your own thing. That's why it is very important that you always learn how to function in the name of Jesus and not merely by an anointing. Right? Because if you function by the name of Jesus and you function under His Lordship in the testimony of Jesus, you will find that you cannot manipulate Jesus. You can manipulate anointings. Ask Lucy all about it. He'll tell you all about how He did it. Yeah, and He did it right there in heaven, right before God. And right before God, one third of the angels also said amen to him. Right? And they only realized what was the real and true reality when the whole bunch of them were taken and thrown out at the speed of lightning. It didn't take very much of God to take them and throw the bunch of them out. Right? Only then did they see and understand how small they were. So in the same token, you and I must understand that the God who is with our God is a God not to be trifled with. He must be our God. So when you build this witness, you must build this witness in a worship of the living God. If you don't worship him, he is not your God. So worship is the reality in which you address and acknowledge God as being God. Sovereign, absolute, total, complete. Yeah. But he is your Father. And he wants to bless you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He wants to open you to authority and power in his righteousness. Not in your righteousness, his righteousness. He wants you to enjoy the reality of his glory, operating in your life, operating through your life, operating over your situations and circumstances. But you must understand it is his glory. So these are simple things that you have to cultivate. We have a nature that is very independent of God. Through the witness, God wants you to bring, to realize a nature that is subject to God. And you, as you read the Word of God, must be absolutely convinced that it is totally necessary for you and me to be subject to God. Otherwise, we will die. We have to be subject to God in order to live. Hello, it's very simple. If you are independent of God, you will die because you and I don't know how to live. That's human history. Praise the Lord, Yahweh Nisi. The Lord has sworn an oath that he will battle Amalek. So are you willing to take that oath and say, he has sworn an oath, huh? That means he will do it. The question is, do you want him to do it in your life? So if you take hold of that name, Yahweh Nisi, you can manifest that victory, right? That banner into everything that is your generations. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So use that authority. Okay, one last verse before we finish. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. So that you understand what is in the name of Jesus, okay? Don't forget this. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. So if you want to function in that, let Jesus come alive in you. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to see Jesus as being preeminent inside of you. For you to get into this reality, you must understand this verse. Okay, one more verse. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 17. And he, this is Jesus Christ, is before all things. You've got to make him, give him first place before all things. Got to make it a lifestyle. How do you make him before all things? Simple fact of asking him to come alive in you. As you go to do a piece of work, as you open the scriptures, as you do your everyday work, address him first. Colossians chapter 1 verse 17. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. If you want something to come alive to you and make sense in your life, get Jesus at the center of it all. That's what this witness is all about. Praise the Lord. If you're not Holy Spirit baptized, you need to be. Because Jesus does not come alive to us except by the Holy Spirit. I didn't say that. He said that. And when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will lead you into all truth. John 16 verse 13. John 16 verse 14. And he will glorify me. The Holy Spirit will glorify me. He will take of mine and he will disclose it to you. John 16 verse 15. All that the Father has is mine. And He, the Holy Spirit, will take it and He will bring it alive to you. He will manifest it to you. So you can't move in God except by the Holy Spirit. So you better learn to function by the Holy Spirit. In all four Gospels, it is declared that you must be baptized by the Holy Spirit. You need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the person who baptizes in the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ. Go back and read all of those passages in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just before Jesus got baptized, and go and read that. Alright? Because John the Baptist said, this is he who will baptize in the Holy Spirit. And if you go through the Gospels, you will find that Jesus did not baptize in water. Only his disciples did. Hello. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. You need that. You need that. Don't argue about it. When Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all, he has good reason to tell you that. Hello, here's somebody who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Surely he knows something that you don't know. Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise. That in Yahweh Nisi you have sworn an oath to manifest victory, O God, in our lives. Victory, O God, through the church. That you mean to manifest in us the rod of God. And you mean to unveil it as a sword of the Spirit, Father. To strike the enemy, O God, and set the captives free. And when the enemy is struck, O Lord, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dumb will speak, the lame will walk, the dead will arise, and those who are held in the dungeons of the deepest darkness will be released in the name of Jesus. So enable us to arise, O God, and to grow up, Father, in Jesus' name. To grow up so that we will be, O God, functioning members of the body of Christ, who are able to bring forth the reality that you mean to manifest yourself in us and amongst us as a man of war. That, Lord, you mean to be able to strike the enemy wherever we are called, O God, through the witness to do battle, Lord. So teach us how to function by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Because this is the law of the priesthood that you have given us, Father. That we will do all things by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. So that we will see realities of being set free from the law of sin and death. Realities in us, realities amongst us, and realities through us as we minister to others. So Father God, as you manifest that freedom and liberty of being set free from the law of sin and death, we realize, O God, that the law of sin and death manifests as we strike the enemy, O God. With the rod of God. We thank you and we bless you for this revelation of Aaron's rod that budded, Lord. In the witness, in the tabernacle of witness, Father. We thank you for that revelation. We give you the glory and the honor, the worship and the praise. As you unveil us as a prophetic people who are able to speak and to describe, O God, the word that will manifest over people's lives in prayer. The word that will manifest, O God, in situations and circumstances that is in accordance with your will. So give us that revelation of your word so that we can employ your word and see it being performed, O God, where your spirit leads us to, Father. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you know the word of God, you can apply the word of God in situations and circumstances, whether it's for healing, whether it's for salvation, whether it's for deliverance. You can speak the word of God as you pray. And as you speak the word of God in the witness that you have, I don't mean intellectually, I mean by the witness. Right? You can see that word being performed. Praise the Lord. God bless you.